Hello, hello, hello. Good morning and happy Sunday to you. Welcome to City Church. My name is Nazareth. I am Comedian Nazareth, and I get the privilege to share with you this morning a message that the Lord put on my heart. It's called When the Unexpected Takes Longer Than Expected. I'm sure everyone can relate to this. When the unexpected takes longer than expected. But before we start, let's go to the Lord and thank Him that we're able to hear His message. Even when we can't be together in a church setting, we can do it from our homes because of the technology that God is using right now to be able to reach out to you. So let's go to Him in prayer. Father God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this time. We thank You for whatever You allowed us to go through, Lord. Lord, we know we didn't expect it to take that long, but we thank You that You're there with us. Doesn't matter how long it takes, You're there with us. And we love You and we thank You. I pray that, you know, today, many people who are hearing this message that will be filled with hope, filled with encouragement, and filled with faith. So we thank You for this and we love You in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, my name is Nazareth. I'm a comedian, but I'm also an ordained pastor, and I do this all over the world, so I'm not just here to do a comedy show, but I'm here to share a message with you, and I remember at one time I was teaching a comedy class, and Pastor Kyle, who is the senior pastor here, took the class, and we've been friends since, so he asked me to be here with you guys today, so I am honored. It's good for me because I live in Corona, California. Yes, Corona, California. Corona does not live in me, but I live in Corona, California. And I don't have to fly much anymore. I used to hate flying. I'm from the Middle East, but ever since September 11th, I feel so Mexican. So I didn't like to fly, but because, you know, you go to the airport the night before and you have to go through security for like 12, 18 hours. To check you, and then they let you in. Well, the other day I had to fly to Nashville to do a show with the Newsboys, and I went to the airport early, and they look at me, and they have this little fever gun, and he goes, "Do you have a fever?" I go, "No." He goes, "Go ahead." I'm like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Just go ahead." To my flight? Yeah. Wait, you don't know me. You remember you guys called me Random Check? I'm from the Middle East. They go, "Go ahead. Don't worry about it." I'm like, "Thank you, Jesus." I love it. You know, it used to be difficult for being Middle Eastern. You know, like I watch the news every night. Whenever there was a shooting or bombing, I'm like, "Please, Lord Jesus, don't let it be a Middle Eastern." You know, hurricane. Oh, let it be Hurricane Matthew, Hurricane Bob, not Hurricane Abdul or Hurricane Ahmed. Because whenever these terrorists did something, we Middle Eastern people couldn't do it anymore. Like, I can't fly a plane anymore. I can't rent a truck anymore. I can't buy knives from Bed Bath & Beyond anymore. I had to wait 2 weeks for a federal background check. What do you need it for? Salad? Why can't these terrorists do something I don't want to do, like blow up a colonoscopy clinic or something? But it is good, you know, even though this is hard. It made us appreciate things. This whole pandemic made us appreciate things that we never did in the past. Like, I appreciate people's noses. I used to take people's noses for granted. Now I don't get to see people's noses anymore with all the masks on. So I appreciate that a lot. And I used to be very scared. In the beginning, when it happened in March, you know, they said, "You got to quarantine," and I got scared. I wasn't quarantining. I was hibernating. I ate so much. I was like going to hibernate and go into hibernation, but I was afraid. I put so much sanitizer. One time I got pulled over for a DUI. I don't even drink, but my blood alcohol level was so high because of the sanitizer, and I had an open container of sanitizer in my car. So, but now I'm like it's taking it a little easier and it's really going good for us. It was weird. It was weird to have, like, I was listening to church online like we're doing right now. I had I listen to sermons at a church called Zoom Lutheran, the Chapel of the Sheltered Brethren, and First Baptist of Couch Corona. And it was just weird, and I can't wait. I cannot wait till we get together and be able to worship again together. And that's going to happen. Again, the message today is when the unexpected takes longer than expected. And what are we going to do about that? But, you know, being a Middle Eastern, I have an accent. That's this heavy accent that I can't get through, which is one of the hardest things about being a Christian, because I can't really comfort people with my accent. I can't. Like, during a Bible study or devotion, I'll be reading something like Psalm 23. Though I go through the shadow of the valley of death, and or revelation, and God will defeat his enemies, and there will be wars and seven plagues, for in them is filled up with the wrath of God. And all the people in my devotion are ducking and hiding under, trying to escape the room. I'm like, what's going on, guys? Don't read these verses in this accent. But it's okay. I love the Lord. I've been a believer for almost 28 years right now, and it's awesome. I am married, happily married. I love my wife so much. It's in August, it'll be 25 years. I love her more today than when I met her. And it made our marriage strong is my mom lives with us. You want a strong marriage, have your, you know, your mother-in-law or your mother live with you. That really makes it hard. But you know something about my mom? My mom is 84 years old. And she would be sitting on the couch reading a book, and she'll be like snoring, her head is tilted, she's drooling on the book, and the book is almost on the ground. I go, hey, Mom, I think you fell asleep. No, I didn't. Why do people like deny that they fell asleep? No, I didn't sleep. Yes, Mom, you were asleep. No, I wasn't. What do you use drool as a book, you know? Booking thing? Oh, no, I wasn't. Okay, fine, whatever. It's okay. You know, you weren't asleep. What is this book called? How to Read with Your Eyes Closed? The Art of Meditation? I don't know. But you know who's worse than that? My wife. Oh, my wife, the minute she gets in the car, any trip over a mile, she's gone. She's asleep. You know, we have a Honda. We call it the Honda Inn. Because the minute she gets in the car, 1 mile, she's like sleeping. And the minute she falls asleep, her neck is like, I'm off the clock now. So her head is like going left and going right. And I'm trying just to adjust her head. You know, so I'm putting my elbow just to hold her head so it doesn't fall. And then I keep going straight. Whenever she's sleeping, I'm going straight. And she wakes up. She goes, are we there yet? Nope, we missed the exit. But I didn't want to turn and make you fall off out of the car. But then she goes, no, I wasn't asleep. I'm like, really? Look at your hair. How did this happen? And that drool on your dress right now, where does that come from? No, that's not my coffee, okay? And that's why, you know what? I hate it when we go tandem biking. Whenever I go tandem biking with my wife, you know, it's just like I have to go in the direction where she's going to fall asleep. And finally, I end up harnessing her, like, you know, putting a harness like those skydivers when you go the first time, they harness you. That's how I do that when I tandem bike with my wife. But I know she hates me for this joke, but it's okay. I love her. I miss going out to eat. I miss restaurants. You know, one time before the pandemic, everything I'm going to share with you is BC before the pandemic. I have a friend, a client of mine, invited me to a nice restaurant in Beverly Hills called Mastro's. Now, if you've been to Mastro's, it's a very expensive steakhouse in Rodeo Drive, Beverly Hills. And I went there. I'm not used to that stuff. I'm used to Applebee's, you know. So they invited me, you know. I went with my wife. We're sitting there. And waitress comes in and she goes, the special today is the Kobe beef imported this morning from Japan. And my friend goes, ooh, it's great, Naz. You have to try the Kobe beef. I go, hey, I'm a Lakers fan. I love any Kobe memorabilia. I'll take it. And then the waitress looks at my friend and goes, do you have any instructions for the chef? Now, they don't do that at Applebee's. And my friend goes, can you make sure they massage the meat before putting the spices on it? I'm like, this is interesting. Then she looks at me, she goes, do you have any instructions for the chef? I go, yeah, can you make sure he washes his hand and not sneeze on my steak? And then my wife, you know, she's so nice. She ordered the cheapest thing on the menu. She's like, she didn't want to cost the people anything. So she ordered the chicken breast. And what is it? A 6-ounce chicken breast. $60. $60. The next day, we went to Popeye Chicken. I kid you not, $1.99 for the same size fillet of chicken. I bet you they come from two different farms. You know, the one for the $60, you go to the farm, every chicken has an acre, you know, free range. You know, her feathers are blow dry, the beak is Botox, and she's just like walking with high heels and all that. You go to the Popeye Chicken farm, and every chicken have an ankle bracelet, you know, missing a wing, and like smoking. Where's Walmart, man? Show me where's Walmart. That's the difference in the chicken right there. But my wife is on a diet. I mean, right now she's on a diet, and she's only, what, 110 pounds? She's 5 foot. I'm like, why do you need a diet? She goes, I want to be on a diet. I was like, fine. And if your wife is on a diet, you should be on a diet if you want to eat. Well, she's on this diet called intermittent diet, where she only eats from 10 in the morning till 6 in the evening, and it's mostly salads. I joined her on that diet, but I start on Eastern time and finish on Pacific time. Because, you know, at 11 o'clock at night, and you're hungry as a man, you know, salad's not going to cut it. So I open the fridge, and there's always salad. Well, the other day, I opened the fridge, and I kid you not, there was salad, and there was a cheesecake from the Cheesecake Factory. I was like, huh, who brought that? That's wrong. No, I can't eat that. And I shut the door. I said, I can't eat that. If I eat it, I'm going to feel guilty tomorrow. I'm going to weigh myself. I'm going to feel horrible tomorrow. No, I can't eat it. And then I said, you know what? I'm just going to find out what kind of cheesecake it is. You know what I mean? It's my house. So I opened the fridge again, and I kid you not, the cheesecake winked at me. You know you want me. I'm like, no. That's why I want to encourage you to memorize Bible verses. Because whenever you're tempted, the right verse will come and hit you and help. And it did to me. I opened the fridge again, and the verse came to me, do not worry about tomorrow. That's right. I love cheesecake. But we're in Anaheim here, and, you know, if you're from Anaheim or from Southern California, you know, I want to be topical a little bit. I got a Dear John letter from Disney, from Disneyland. It was one of those, like, about my annual pass. You know, it's a Dear John letter about my annual pass. They're canceling all the annual passes for people here in California. It says here, dear annual pass holder, this is Disney. I'm ending our relationship. It's not you, it's me. I had this quiet time alone with no visitors during the pandemic to think things over. I thought so much about this, but I do need to say goodbye and cancel your membership. I need to move on. I believe there'll be many more people who want me. I know you invested a lot into this. I know you want to be with me on holidays, but I'm very busy in those days, and I had to block you or black out you. Don't cry. There's so many parks out there for you. It's not like you were there all the time. The last time you showed up, you were bored. Well, I will reconsider this in the future and maybe offer you something better. But for now, we have to go our separate ways. Love, the Disney Annual Pass Program. And by the way, we want to focus on vaccinating people right now. So that was my Dear John letter. So as of today, all my, you know, no annual pass for Disney holders. Just want to let you know because you live in Anaheim. All right. So I want to really encourage you with this message. When the unexpected takes longer than expected. When this pandemic started in March, I was going, okay, you know what? This is going to take till April, a month, okay. Thank you, Dave Ramsey. I have an emergency fund for a month and a half. Boom. We'll survive this and we'll start saving again. And then April came. Boom. Savings are gone. What are we going to do? May. you know, June. Oh, it's going to be, of course, when the summer is here, it's going to be gone. Boom, it's still there. And, you know, winter, oh, Christmas, by Christmas, it's for sure it'll be gone. We'll be able to travel and see our family. Nothing. And it's taking longer and longer. And we got the new year, and we say, okay, when the new year is here, all right, and 2021 is here, thank you, 2020. We don't want to see you again. We don't want to hear about you. But 2021, we're ready to go. But we're not ready to go. Well, the vaccine is here. Everything is okay. Well, we don't know how long it's going to take. And you have that feeling. I'm sure you're in the same boat. Like, what to do? So I want to give you five things that you can do when the unexpected takes longer than expected. And you can apply it in this pandemic. You can apply it in a future situation that you're going through or you're waiting for. What to do? Number one, remember prior blessings. Remember prior blessings. One of the things I love doing is I used to visit so many prisons with the Prison Fellowship Ministry, Chuck Colson's ministry. I visited over 200 something prisons around the country to be able to go there and share the love of Jesus with them, make them laugh, and share the Lord with them. Well, one time we were in the Indiana Maximum Security Prison, and we went to the yard, the big yard, and they did the event and all that. And after that, well, some of the Christian inmates there, they said, hey, guys, you want to come to our chapel and see our chapel? I said, sure. So we went to their chapel. It's a small chapel, and they have, you know, they don't have the garage door you guys have here, but a small chapel with a cross. And as I go in, I'm looking at the walls, and on both sides of, you know, two walls, they have writing. They have writing on each side of the wall. And I go, what is this writing for? They said, Nazareth, whenever one of the inmates here has a prayer request, we write it on this wall. And whenever it is answered, we write it on that wall. And they almost had the same amount of writing. And that's amazing. When you keep track of your prayers, and you journal your prayers, and you write them down, and then when they're answered, you write it down. It could be, God answered exactly how I want it. Oh, I no longer desire this. Because, or you know what? I this is not right for me anymore. But you write your prayers. You write when God came through for you. You write that's when this problem happened, and you don't know what's going on, what to do, and how is that going to be taken care of. And you know what? A month or so, or a year later, it's solved. Lord, how are we going to take care of our rent? And boom, you look a couple of months, oh, we've been paying the rent. Lord, my kid is sick, and I don't know what's going to happen. And then the next day, you know, they're healed. Thank you, Lord. They're feeling great. See, when you do that, then you remember. You'll know God's faithfulness, because God is faithful. But you have memory problems. We all have memory problems. That's why keep track of your prayers and find out how long. So whenever you're going, when the unexpected takes longer than expected, you know what? Go back and remember all these times that God came through for you. Take your time. Think about it. Think of the last big thing that you were so worried about and how God took care of it. So, yeah, that's one thing. The first thing you do, remember prior blessings. Number two, put your ego aside. This is mostly for men. Put your ego aside. I know you had a great job. I know you were making that much money. I know you had all these people working for you. I know your business was thriving and it was the best restaurant, the best business in town. But you know what? Things change right now. You know, we all hope it comes back to where it used to be. But for now, you go, I can't take this job at Amazon. I'm too good for this. Or I'm too good for that. I can't do this. We can't go to a smaller house. I can't do this. You know, my ego will not allow me. Put your ego aside. There's a great story in the Bible about Elijah the prophet. Elijah the prophet, at one point, he challenged 400 prophets, that fake prophets, with the Queen Jezebel that were worshiping every weird thing. And Elijah challenged him. He said, if you're God, you know, read the story. And it's in 1 Kings. And God said, you know, challenged Elijah, and Elijah said, hey, listen, if your God is real, let's see whose God is real. If your God is real, here's some altar. Whoever starts a fire, if your God can start a fire, then boom, your God is real. If my God can start a fire, then my God is real. And I won't go into the story, but the end, God proved that Elijah was true and real, and he worshiped the true God, and Elijah ended up slaughtering and killing all those 400 prophets. Man, he was on top of the world. He was like, boom, strong, courageous, get rid of these evil people. Later, in 1 Kings 17:4, it says, shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. So Queen Jezebel tells Elijah, you know what? I'm going to kill you. Before the end of this day, I'm going to kill you. So he got scared. From being so courageous, he got scared and he ran. And as he was running, he was getting hungry. And God said, don't worry, I'm going to have the ravens, the crows, take care of you. How humiliating is this? Crows normally don't give food. They take food. But they were providing food for him. And in 1 Kings 17:9, it says, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. How much insult can you take, Elijah? But this God was like telling him, it's okay. You don't need your ego when you're serving me. You don't need your ego. Sometimes you're going to be on top of the mountain, being the courageous prophet. Other times you're going to have a widow take care of you. And does your pride stop you from seeking certain opportunities and solutions that can alleviate part of the challenge you go through? Think about that. Answer that to yourself. So that's the second thing. When the unexpected takes longer than expected, number one, you have to make sure to remember prior blessings. Number two, put your ego aside. Number three, what do? You believe what Jesus said. Believe what God said. You know, don't just like, oh, I memorized it. Oh, I've read it. Oh, yeah, I know it. Believe it. Really believe it to where it can affect your life. Believe it to where it will control your actions. Did the Lord Jesus lie to us? When the Bible says, through the Holy Spirit, be anxious for nothing. Is he lying to us? Who's the author of fear? It's not God. In Isaiah 41:10, it says, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Is God lying? Is God lying to you? No. In Psalms 27:1-3, Psalm of David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumble and fail. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may arise, in this I will be confident. Why? Why did David say that? Because he believed in God. He believed in the word of God. You know, this is one of the places in Matthew 6 where Jesus actually, our Lord Jesus, didn't have to do that. But it's actually reasoning with you. Reasoning with you and reasoning with me. But just imagine, picture yourself right now. You're watching this. Picture yourself sitting in a stool right now. And Jesus is looking at you and talking to you. The Lord, the Creator, is actually trying to reason with one of his creations. We're dust. But he's actually trying to reason with us because he loves us and he knows we're flesh and he knows we're human and he knows we get fearful. And this is what he's saying to you. He's talking to you right now. He's like, do not worry. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying what we shall eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Oh, how comforting that is. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. He knows your needs. He knows the thing that you're worried about and you're praying about and you're asking him about and you don't know what you're going to do about. He knows about all these things. That's so comforting. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Oh, when you're anxious and you're worried, remember those words. Remember Jesus reasoning with you in Matthew 6, beginning in verse 33. Read it. When you're fearful, read it. This is the Lord. Would he lie to you? No. God is truth. Jesus is truth. He will never lie. Take it. Accept it. Who else are you going to believe? Who else can make this promise to you? Who else, who in government, who in finance, who in anywhere can make you such a promise? They can't. But God is saying, do not worry about all these things. Remember, when you worry, your immune system goes down and makes you more susceptible to viruses. Do not worry. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind into the day of Jesus Christ. It's a promise from the Word. It encouraged millions of people throughout history. And it's here for you today. Be encouraged. When the unexpected takes longer than expected, remember and believe in God's words. Believe it. Number four, be light in this dark time. You know what? We've been practicing as believers. We've been reading the Bible. We've been going through the plans, the game plans. We've been doing all this. We've been coming to church. We've been hearing sermons. You know what? It's time to play. The minute this pandemic started, I think Christians, it was God saying, okay, guys, you're ready for the game. Go in and play. Oh, no, I'm scared. I'm worried. No, go in and play. You know these things can happen. You know who's with you. You know who loves you. You know what I told you to do. Go out in the world and do it. Oh, no, I'm scared. I'm just as worried as these, you know, non-believers. I'm just as worried as those who never read any promise from the Bible. I'm just worried as anyone who never experienced God's grace and mercy and blessing. Why? You're the light of the world. You're the salt. And if salt loses its taste, it's good for nothing but be trampled by men. You're the light of the world. And the darker it gets, guys, the lighter we can shine. The darker it gets, the lighter we can shine. So be light in this dark time. You know, some Christians, I had a student once, and he was telling me, it was, I think, 2007 and 8 when the economy crashed and all that. And he was bragging about how he has a big house in a big, big acres. And he has a lake, so he doesn't need any water from a reservoir. He doesn't need any water. He has all these plants and trees and stuff that he's self-sufficient and gets a lot of food. So if things get so bad, he is covered, and he had a fence around his property, and he had guns, and he said, I can shoot anyone who comes close to my property. Like, really? Is that the Christian thing to do? Really? You want to shoot people because they're starving and hungry and coming to your place to find food? Is that how we react? I was talking to my friend Matthew Barnett, and he was saying from the Dream Center in L.A., and he goes, some missionaries are afraid canceling their trips to Los Angeles because the number of homeless people there. Really? Is that the time where Christians, we shy away and we protect what we have? Oh, I only have that much toilet paper. I only have that much. I don't want to share with anybody. Don't come close to me. I don't have any more money. I'm going to save every dollar I have just in case it gets worse. Really? Is that how we react as Christians? That's not how God wants us to react. You know, we love people, we share people, especially people of the faith. We have to show unity. Oh, you know why the world is making fun of Christianity? The world is like, want to cancel Christians and churches and all that. Do you know why? Because we're not united. We're not united. Maybe it's time for us as Christians to unite together. John 17, 22, 23. This is one of the Lord's desires. You got to love Jesus. You know what Jesus desired? He says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. How would the world know that we are, you know, that, you know, Jesus is our Lord, that we belong to him, that he Jesus came to earth? It's by loving one another, by the love we have for one another, by the unity we have with one another. That will show the world that we are true believers. And I think by then they will understand. And some of them will come to the faith. So yeah, we need to unite. We need to be to have unity as Christians. We need to be praying for our nation. You know, like some people got shocked, like, oh, the government's changing. We're going to have a different president. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. God is still on the throne. God is still in control. God will make sure everything he planned will get it done, regardless who's in office. The hearts of kings are like, running like rivers, running water in the hands of the Lord. I kind of messed up that verse, but this is what it means. God is in control of all the leaders. So you have nothing to worry about as a believer. Go out, share your faith, love on people, be a light in this dark time. That's how, when the expected takes longer than expected, that's what you do. And the last point, do not catastrophize. Do not catastrophize. You're not the media. Have the proper perspective. Sometimes, oh, the coronavirus, we're all going to die. We're all, the job's going to be gone. We're all going to die. Oh, we're all going to be gone. We're all going to this. Oh, this is going to be horrible. And all these things. And nobody's going to be working. No hospitals will be open. And everything and everybody will die. No food and no toilet paper. And we're all going to die. You know, that's not the right perspective. Leave that for CNN and other medias and Fox and whatever. You know, any news, I'm not with any news, but what I'm saying is, like, you know what, do not catastrophize. The proper thing for a Christian to do is to have the right perspective. Don't focus on the things of this world, but on God. You know, the proper perspective is not God will protect me because I'm a Christian. Some Christians say, I will never get the COVID virus. I will never get, because God will take care of me. You know what, no weapon formed against me will prosper. You know, fiery darts would come left and right, but nothing will hit me. That's God, I will not. No, there's some great, strong believers who caught the virus, and some of them went to be with the Lord. In 2004, a tsunami hit India on the Lord's Day. On a Sunday, 200,000 people died, including complete churches gathered to worship the Lord. What do you say to them? No weapon formed against me will prosper. God will not allow this to happen to me. No. But it's okay. If it's God's will, you'll have all the peace in the world. If it's God's will, you get sick and then you get healed, he's going to go with you. Through the valley of the shadow of death, he's with you. He'll let you go through it, so maybe. If that's his will, you'll go through it. But guess what? He's with you. If it's his will that you go be with him, that's a better place, but he's with you. If it's will that you get protected from it and not catch it, that's fine. That's his will. He'll do that. But have the right perspective. So let me just, as I close this message, I just want to remind you, when the unexpected takes longer than expected, there's five things you can do. Number one, remember God's blessings in the past. Remember prior blessings. Number two, you need to put your ego aside. Number three, you need to believe God's word. Believe it. Not just memorize it. Believe God's promises and God's words. God reasoning with you. And number four, you need to be light in this dark time. Be light. The longer it takes, the longer you're going to be a good witness. The longer you're going to be a shining light. And the last one is do not catastrophize. Have the proper perspective. And if you do that, I truly believe that if it takes longer than it should, you can still hang in there and use it as a time to be able to be a blessing and to be a great witness to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Well, there's some of you are watching right now. We don't know where you are, what part of the world, what part of the country, and we don't know where you're at with the Lord. Maybe this time of this pandemic awakening you to the reality of life that, yeah, you can die. And you know what? Maybe there's an afterlife. I'll tell you, based on the truth of the Word of God, which has been around forever and ever, and it was proven, and proven through history, proven through different things. You know, if you go do archaeology, and through science, and through history, and through all these things, it's proven. And the Word of God, that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And it also says that you're human. And there's no way by your good works can please a holy God. But God created you perfect. But sin has entered the world because we as humans were created with that ability to choose. And God knew that. And we chose to reject God. We chose to disobey God. And when we disobeyed him, sin entered the world. And all these things, pandemics, earthquakes, problems happened because of that sin. And men and women cannot on their own please God by their works. That's why Jesus, God himself, became a man and lived the perfect life on this earth. And in due time, he went to the cross obediently. And on that cross, he took the punishment that you and I deserve for breaking the commandments of a holy God. He took it upon himself. And he hung on the cross and took the pain and the shame and the cursing and the embarrassment. And he gave up the ghost on that cross. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead as he promised that you can have life. So if you, by faith, the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says it is by grace through faith you have been saved. Not of your works. It's a gift from God. Lest anyone brags and boasts. It's a gift from God. Not by works. So your good works don't matter right now if you don't know Jesus. Oh, yeah, you're a great guy. Yeah, you help people. Yeah, you're wonderful. You're better than your neighbor. Yes, you never killed or stole or did anything. You're right. But you still lied and you still coveted and you still did all that, had ugly thoughts and hurtful thoughts. You're not. You cannot please a holy God with that. And again, that's why Jesus died. And if you put your faith and trust on what he did on that cross, you can have life. Life on this earth, through life, through living, with peace and all that. But you can have everlasting life. So when you're dead, when you're gone, or when Jesus comes back, which he promised he will come back, because he promised he's going to rise from the dead, and he did, and boom, that by itself should make you go, oh, this is the only true thing. And he said he's coming back. If he comes back while you're still alive, or you die, and you go, he promised, if you know him, if you put your faith and trust in him, you will not go to hell. Hell is a real place. Trust me, it is. I know it's not politically correct. It's a real place. It wasn't made for you. God made it for Satan and his demons. But if you choose to deny him, you will go there. But I'm sure if you're watching this right now, you're not one of those who's choosing to deny, but you are searching. And you need to know. You know there is a designer, there's a creator out there. And he loves you. And that's why you're watching. And that's why I'm talking to you right now. Because he loves you. He has a better plan for your life. I know you exhausted life the way you think should be going and it didn't go the way you want. But there's a better plan that God has for you. So would you bow your head and close your eyes right now with me? And just, I'm going to pray a prayer. Repeat it, loud or quiet. It's between you and the Lord. But if you mean it from your heart, God's gonna reach out to you. God's going to touch your heart. He's going to send his Holy Spirit to live in you as a helper, to help you and to seal you until he comes to take you to be with him or you go to be with him. Pray this simple prayer. Says, Lord, forgive me. I failed you. I've been living life my way. But today I come to you and I ask you to come into my life, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. And thank you that you rose again from the dead on the third day, that I can have life and victory over the things that hold me back. It could be drugs, it could be alcohol, it could be pornography, it could be whatever, abuse, whatever it is, that you rose from the dead, that I can have victory over that. Lord, I want to turn away from the way I'm living and follow you all the days of my life. For in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, let someone know. Find a way to get a hold of the church and let, you know, said, I need to talk to someone. I prayed the prayer with Nazareth. And if you're a believer and your faith is weak, man, I pray you get strengthened right now. And to, you know, the best way you can strengthen your faith is to God and see how you can bless others and help others and share the good news with others. Amen. And if you're a believer and you don't follow me on social media under Comedian Nazareth, you're not going to make it to heaven. Yep, I second that message. I approve that message. I have a show every night, a weeknight on Facebook. It's a Facebook Live show where you become the comedian, where you can be funny for an hour from 7:30 p.m. Pacific time till 8:30 every weeknight under Comedian Nazareth on Facebook, and you can laugh and enjoy, you know, just comment and be funny, and people will encourage you. At the end, we end up praying for whatever prayer needs you have, and we'll encourage you. It's every night. I think tonight will be show number 213, so we're there every weeknight. So thank you guys so much. If you need to get a hold of me again, I'm under Comedian Nazareth or NazarethUSA.com. I want to thank you so much for watching, and I pray that God will use you during this pandemic until the expected happens, that he will use you for his glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless you.